Welcome to Glory and Feast Church. We trust that today is going to be an experience in the power of God manifested in your life.
We thank God that today is the day God has made for you and I. Today is your day of victory, a day of health, a day of great power coming down from God to meet your need. Open up your heart and get ready to be blessed.
This is your moment. This is your now. Embrace it in God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. We are thankful for his blessings. Father, we are thankful for your presence. We're thankful for your word, for the work of transformation that is taking place in our lives even now. Thank you, Lord, for your word for us tonight. I surrender myself, O God, completely to you, that I might be, O God, your voice, your oracle. I thank you, Lord, that your anointing even now is destroying yokes and removing burdens. Lord, O God, that you're establishing your people in your loving kindness and tender mercies. Blessed be your holy name forever. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Well, do turn with me to the word of the Lord tonight. This morning, we shared the word of God concerning Jerusalem, what word God gave to Ezekiel, and how God described Jerusalem as a place, as a community that came out of Canaan. He said that the father was an Amorite and the mother was a Hittite, and how that she was born, and in her time of birth, the umbilical cord was not cut. She was not washed. She was not salted. She was not swaddled. And how she came to the place where nobody cared or pitied her. And then the word of God continues on and said, how she loathed herself. Then the word of God went on and said, God located her, found her, and restored her, and she grew up to be a beautiful woman, just draped with precious jewels and ornaments and so on and so forth. It would have been great that the passage ended that way. But as we look at the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, we find out that Jerusalem became a harlot, a prostitute, that she began to do crazy things, and she was even worse than other communities. She outdid everybody. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is why? We do know that she started out from a particular level, and now she is like this, totally contrary to what God had made her. Why do those things happen? You see, when you feel rejected, forsaken, and you have not felt love, you always try to please people to find them loving you. So you begin to compromise yourself and do things that you wouldn't have done if you had embraced the healing that God has given. The fact is, sometimes we do not believe God. We may be in church and we do not believe God. We may hear the word of God, but we keep on saying, I know what God's word says, but. I know what God's word says, but. And even if you don't verbalize it, you're thinking it in your subconscious level, and in that level, you begin to sabotage yourself and do that which is not righteous, do that which is not justifiable by any stretch of the imagination. And tonight, I want to explore that a little bit as we address the issue of men pleasers, being a man pleaser. In the book of Galatians, chapter 1, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul, writing, makes a very remarkable statement.
He says, "For do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ." That must be something that burns deep within our spirits. That if we become man pleasers, we cannot be the servants of the Anointed One. I believe this message is to every one of us because God has called us to all be preachers of His Word, to be ones who communicate His Word, to let others know that there is life in God. But if you become a man pleaser, then you're going to water down the Word of God. I remember very clearly what the Lord began to show to me this morning, sometime around 4 a.m., about how the Word was being adulterated and people began believing deceptive lies. And the reason behind those kinds of things is because people live in fear. They live in fear of their congregation. If I preach the truth, I will not have a congregation. They're all going to leave. They're not going to give their tithes. They're not going to give their offerings. Well, if you choose to be a man pleaser, you are no longer a servant of Christ. The message tonight is not just to me, to you, but to everyone who names the name of the Lord, especially those who are standing behind pulpits, those who are teaching Bible classes and whatever else, trying to communicate the Word of God. You must speak the truth of the Word of God. It is not based on what the nation or government say we should say. I am not called by the government of Canada or the United States or any nation in the world. My call came from God. I answer to Him. Therefore, it doesn't matter whether you throw me in jail for telling the truth of the Word of God. I won't be the first. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark, the sixth chapter. Mark, the sixth chapter. In Mark, the sixth chapter, there was a great man called John the Baptist. This man began proclaiming the word of the Lord. I would take it up from verse 12. Mark 6, beginning to read from verse 12. The passage of Scripture begins with the disciples of Jesus Christ being sent out. He says, "And they went out and preached that men should repent." Repentance is still a word. There are pastors and preachers who are talking about there's no need to repent. What life in the depths of hell? I'm not here to bash any man or woman of God. Everyone stands before God or falls before God. But it's imperative, as the Lord has given me this word for us tonight, for me to declare clearly that if you're sitting under a ministry where they're telling you that there's no place for repentance, that you better run for your life. Run as fast as you can, because you're sitting in a den of thieves. You're sitting in the wrong place. There is still the place for repentance. Even the Word of God says God repented. Who are you? Oh, my Lord. He sent them out, and they went out and preached. That's what they went out to preach, that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. These were the disciples. He says, "And King Herod heard of him, For his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. This is Herod believing that John the Baptist rose again from the dead. Who is this John the Baptist? Anyhow, the other said that it is Elias, or maybe Elias rose again from the dead. Another said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. Incredible. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, "It is John. It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." Herod had beheaded John. Why? The Bible says, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John, bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. He snatched Herodias away from the brother and married her. And John said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Told the king, Herod, straight to his face, you're wrong, man. And because of that, he is going to get beheaded. Getting beheaded, being thrown in prison, whatever else may happen to men or women of God, being sued, that is not the beginning and the end of the world. Because, you see, this world is a temporary world. What is most important is that the gospel of Jesus Christ be preached. That men be snatched from the claws and the jaws of eternal death. And sometimes people die for it. Sometimes people be imprisoned for it. Sometimes people may be dragged into law courts for it. The Lord Jesus Christ said so. He said, you're going to drag you before all kinds of places and all kinds of evil may happen to you because you're carrying the truth. But the decision that you and I must make as believers in the Most High God, ones who have been redeemed, called out of death to life, who love people, is to give them what is most important, the truth, the God-given truth, and nothing but the truth. Yes, it may cost, but once again, you and I may not be the first, nor will we be the last. Not until Jesus Christ comes, who will be persecuted for speaking truth to power. So the Bible tells us, therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. She was looking for a perfect time. But the word of God continues and says, for Herod, the reason she could not is because Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy and observed him, kept on watching him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. In essence, the word of God is saying to us, he called this man, come talk to me. And John spoke to him, did miracles, and he was glad that he had heard him. But it's one thing to be glad that you heard the word of God. It's another thing to follow through with the truth and change. In his particular case, there was no repentance. He heard them gladly. But the word of God goes on and says, and when a convenient time, Eucharios, an opportune time came. And when a convenient day, Eucharios, convenient, opportune time, when that day came, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. When that day came, the Bible says in verse 22, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I'll give it thee. I'll give it to you. And he swore unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. That much, just for a dance? Wow, we should all stand dancing. I'll give it to you, up to half of the kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And Herodias saw this as that convenient time. She said, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Ask for his head. And she came straight away with haste unto the king. Wow. And I saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger, in a plate, the head of John the Baptist. Let's be reminded that Herod was in the way of Herodias all this while, stopping her from doing this evil. But he'd given his word. And the Bible says, and the king was exceeding sorry. He knew that this was a man of God, a holy man, blameless, a man that does miracles. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and watch this, and for their sakes we sat with him. Not only because he made a commitment, but because of the people that were sitting with him, he will not reject her. He decides to be a man pleaser. The word of God says, and immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison. I wonder how many men, women of God, have lost their heads because of an attack, because they spoke the truth. This just simply spoke the truth, the word of God. And because they spoke the truth, they brought into realities an enemy. The wicked works of the devil that want to destroy lives. So it was. The Bible says in verse 28, and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. The bottom line is this. The king could say, I said, I'll give you anything up to the kingdom, half of the kingdom. Ask for something else. I am not going to behead an innocent man because of you or because of your mother, because he spoke the truth. The challenges that we face in life, Paul says once again in Galatians 1 and verse 10. Tell you what, man. The only thing you're going to hear from me is the truth. For do I now persuade man or God? Am I going to convince God to accept a lie for the truth? Am I going to water down what God's word says? Or do I seek to please man? For if I yet pleased man, in other words, I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please God. And if God is pleased, then I am a servant of Christ. That takes faith. For the word of God says that the only way you and I can please God is through faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith comes by hearing. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, the disciples were being harassed. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. They were being harassed by the forces of the day, the religious forces of the day, the political systems of the day. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You stop preaching this gospel. Stop telling people about Jesus Christ. Oh no, we are going to obey God and preach the truth, whether you like it or not. As believers, we need to take that stand, and we need to support men and women that take a stand to preach the truth. We ought to obey God rather than men. I remember years ago, there are two brothers here in Canada, I believe they were, called the Lalonde brothers. They had a television broadcast, and they were assaulted by the system, told not to preach what they were preaching. And they continued. And the government stripped them of their tax-exempt rights. And that was the end of them. Because believers did not continue supporting the truth. Why? They wanted a tax receipt. What if your tax receipt and tax exemption is taken from you? Are you going to continue supporting the work of God? Or are you supporting the work of God because I'll get a refund on my taxes. I'll get a tax break. Well, that is pleasing man if all the reason we give is for some kind of tax break. Do we believe the word of God? And are we willing to stick out ourselves and support men and women of God who are speaking the truth of God in love? Saying, this is what the word of God says. I love people enough to tell them the truth because I don't want them to end up in an eternal hell. Governments can put all kinds of regulations. You can preach this and you can preach that and you can preach this and you can preach that. Because if you preach this, it's illegal. You're not being tolerant. God called me to be tolerant. God called me to preach the truth. My lack of tolerance is not because I don't love. I love people because God loves people. And God wants people saved, redeemed, sanctified, made holy. That dream I had this morning, there were these people that have created what you may call a homosexual church. And they were practicing it, and they were basically teaching that lifestyle was the right lifestyle, and that if you practice that lifestyle, you get a crown. I couldn't make these things up. You have to have a crazy mind to dream those kind of dreams if God didn't give it to you. But so it was. Teaching error and believing it to be the truth. Lies from the depths of hell. God loves everybody, but God calls every one of us to repentance. Change. I don't know how you got where you are, but this I do know, that God who loves you and cares about you desires the best for you. And you can receive his love today. We are all sinners, every one of us. Every one of us. There's not one who hasn't sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God calls us to repentance. God didn't say, well, you were born this way, a sinner. You were shaping in iniquity and in sin, and that's how you're going to die. He says, no, you can repent. Adulterer, you can repent. Robber, you can repent. Liar, you can repent. Whatever you are stuck in, you can cry out to God and say, God, I see in your word that this is wrong. Help me get out of this mess. And he's there to help. He's there to help us, every one of us, come out of the disaster of sin, so that we can experience God's eternal life. We're not going to give ourselves to the defeat of sin. When we have so much and we lose sight of where we got it from, we become like Jerusalem in Ezekiel 16. There in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 5, it says, well, thou didst trust in thine own beauty. You trusted in your own beauty and playest the harlot because of thy renown. You're so well known. You poured out thy fornications on everyone that pass by. We must not lose sight of the fact that we belong to God. God loves his people. God loves me, God loves you. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 2, or rather Romans 12 and verse 2, it says that we should not be conformed to this world, but that we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. That is God's call to us. Don't get poured into the world, into the systems of this world. You know, the church has so much allowed itself to be poured into the mold of this world that we cannot separate the church from the world. The church has become worldly and the world has become more churchy. The craziness of sin when we compromise. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, we read these powerful words. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. That's how you get cursed. Departing from the Lord. Departing from the truth. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? God is not going to be pleased with me because I had 100,000 people in church who are not committed to God because I became a social club. It says the road is wide, and many are they that find it and walk in it. And the road is narrow. A few find it, and that narrow road brings them to eternal life. God is not about the masses. He died for the masses, but he still will pick the few that go through the narrow path. You see, because truth is very narrow. It's not wide. Truth is truth. It's sharp. It's black and white. There's no compromise to truth. Cursed be that man that trusted in man and places his faith on the arm of flesh, believing that that's what life is all about. Every time I stand here preaching the Word of God, I'm not just preaching the Word of God to you. I'm preaching to me. To remind me about what really matters. When you and I live in fear, we have not believed what the Word of God says. What can man do to me? What are you going to do? Go talk to a Paul. You're going to tell him, I'm going to throw you in jail. Which one? Actually, send me to that jail over there because there's a guy I was preaching to over there. I've not finished talking to him. Send me there. We've got to come to a place in our walk with God where nothing threatens us anymore. What are you going to threaten me with? Really? You won't kill me? I'll go to heaven right away. To be absent with the Lord is to be present. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you going to do to me? Come on. You won't throw me in jail? And that's supposed to scare me? I'm going to make sure that you're broke? That's supposed to scare me? If people matter to us in a good way, in the way that causes us to love them, the way God loves them, then we will be willing to pay whatever price we need to pay to see souls saved. Remember many years ago, there was almost a civil war happening because of some political stuff, elections in Kenya. They were burning people, burning houses. And I heard the Lord says, I want you in Kenya. I said, where? He said, go to Kenya. I said, you know that they're killing people over there, right? I said, yes, I know. Go. Go have a crusade in Kenya. Just about that time, a gentleman, I don't know, I didn't know him, sent me a letter. He said, can you have a crusade here in Kenya? I said, yes. He said, we don't have any money to pay for it. You have to, all the costs for the crusade, you're going to have to carry it. I'm looking at the congregation. How are we going to do this? It was going to cost, he wanted just for things to get started, he needed $16,000 or something like that. So I sent that money. That's not any other cost. When we started the crusade, because these tribes were killing each other, where it was situated, in one segment was a particular tribe, and on that other side was another tribe, and we're in this field. Just a handful of people, maybe about 30 people, have spent all this money. About 30 people were right in front of me. Because you look over here, there are buildings still burning, still smoking. Start preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God, miracles start happening. The next day, those people over there moved a little bit closer. And the people over here moved a little bit closer. By the third day, they were all together in one spot. God had pulled these people together. And the people that were busy, neighbors that were busy killing each other, were now right there in front of me, receiving the word of God. Mama was with me. Before we left that country, I had made a lifelong friendship with a man that was a vice president of that country. I had relationships now with the mayor of their main city, Nairobi. I had all these connections just because God said, go, don't have the fear of man. Go tell them the truth. Hallelujah. Go tell them the truth. I know one day I'm going to stand before the Lord and there's going to be all kinds of people from all kinds of nations who are going to say, thank you for telling me the truth. And so they're going to thank you also for being an active participant in making possible for this gospel of the kingdom to be preached. No fear of man. Just telling the truth. Loving people with the everlasting love of the living God. Hallelujah. I close up by going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read from verse 5. As servants, we are called to be obedient to God's directives and not to be men pleasers. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. God is calling you and I to serve. It goes on to verse 6, it says, not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. Whatever God says to do, just do it. Be faithful in doing what God says. It says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Everything you and I call to do, it says, do it as unto the Lord. May God grant us the grace to be bold, courageous, committed to do the right thing. It takes sacrifice, no doubt. It's a great challenge, no doubt. But we must place our faith and our trust in the Lord. Verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. God will reward. The one thing that every one of us must crave for and desire with all of our heart is this: to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. You did what I sent you out to do. Amen? There is one life to live. Let's live it to the full with a bang. Let's leave it unto the Lord. Trust in Him every day of our lives, laying our lives down in total surrender and worship and adoration. Let us stand with those that are in the forefront, praying for them, believing God to help them, because some people need to be in the forefront. And we need to pray, encourage, help, do whatever it is that we can to see that they fulfill the mandate of the Lord, because we all get rewarded the same at the end of the day. God still will do the right thing by every one of us. And I conclude with verse 9. Of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. He has no fear of man. And if you've been created in his image and likeness, then his character is in you. Neither is there respect of persons with him. He will deal with you, deal with me, as he ought to, because he's still God, and we are not. Amen? He is altogether faithful. Yes, there are challenges, but we serve a God who's greater than any challenge that we will ever face. Let us give him praise forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God once again for the privilege to share the Word of God with you. I trust that something that you heard today would have encouraged your heart deeply and richly, and that your pursuit, as well as my pursuit, be to see that lives are forever changed. That we declare the Word of God in spirit and in truth, not afraid of what man may intend to do. For we serve a God who says, yeah, they're going to drag you into courts. He says, well, don't be afraid. The right time, just open your mouth and I'll fill it with my words. Amen? We have the greatest advocate. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He can shut down the systems of the evil one. But what we must not do is live in fear of what man is going to do. Because when you live in fear of what man is going to do, you become a man pleaser. I remember many years ago when the government started telling us, you can't preach this and you can't preach this and you can't preach that. God spoke to me right there in my office. He said, today I want to address the nation. I said, how are you going to do that? Somebody come in here? I said, no. I said, so who's going to be doing it? He said, you. I said, me. What am I supposed to be saying to the nation? He said, don't worry about it. I was sitting right there. Not knowing what God wanted to say. And while I walked from my seat to the podium, to this pulpit, I still knew not what to say. But as soon as I stood here and I opened my mouth, there it went. It's a message called the gold standard. That message was pumped out to all the houses of parliament and legislative, to members of parliament and legislatures around, or MPs and MLAs in the country. God made the provision for it supernaturally. And through that message, a prime minister who did not listen got thrown out of power. Is that same God? That same God. We cannot afford to live in fear. We must not do anything out of our own flesh. Whatever it is that we do must be founded on the truth of God's word, and we must continue thereby. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we receive the grace to be your messengers, your voice, your oracle in our world. We're living in a world that is just messed up. But Lord, oh God, you can turn things around. And we present ourselves to you as living sacrifices. That you might equip us and help us be your voice to the nations of the earth, to speak, O God, truth to power, to break the backbone of satanic agendas. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world and all spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. This day we dislodge them from the places, O God, that they thought was rightfully theirs. We declare, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. On the foundation of this truth, you are building your church. And the government's hell shall not prevail over it. And we receive thereby the keys of the kingdom, declaring this day, O God, that the powers of darkness do not have reign. They have no authority here. We do not bow down to the idols of this world. Our worship is unto you. Receive our worship and our adoration. Use our lives, O God, to cut down the groves of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, for this. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Honor Him who has given us the grace to have. And let's release that which God has given to us with thanksgiving, that He might do what He has promised, that He will multiply our seed sown. Amen. Praise God. Those of you online, you have the information that you need for e-transfer and other necessary information so that you can honor God by your giving. The Lord bless you richly. May He keep you. May He establish you. May He cause you to come alive this day, recognizing that because He lives, you live also. What is life if you're going to live it afraid? That's not your call. Don't live life afraid. Be bold. The Word of God says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You are well able to do whatever it is God has called you to do and to demonstrate in this last of the last days the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. And may that grace touch others far and near. Be blessed and be highly favored. Look forward to ministering to you next Wednesday. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, give Him your life right now. It's simple to do. You say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Shatter the stronghold of darkness off of my life and cause me to walk in victory all of my days. Amen. Love you. Good night.